So let's do this. It's a Saltgrass Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. AJ Hoffman, the role model. John Lee, the master, back in studio, keeping us on air out here at Saltgrass in Sugarland. So if you were looking for a place to come and hang out for a couple hours, this is it. If you want to get in today, best way to do it is to hit us up via Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-L-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and there's also the Blitz Facebook page, which you guys only use on the weekends when you're drunk, apparently, but just find the Blitz.
That's all right, too.
Put comments on visitor posts, and you're all good to go. And we're out here again, Saltgrass, and this has been a lot of fun doing the shows at Saltgrass. Quentin Demp's going to join us at 6 o'clock for one more show.
This is our final Demp show?
I'm guessing it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll put a wrap on that. But Saltgrass, 25 years now. They've been open. The Baytown location's open. And right now, until 6, you can get that early dinner menu, which is fantastic. So come on by. Check it out. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
Sports and moving and stuff.
So, oh, well. Yeah. Well,
yeah, I finally close on this damn thing tomorrow, and I was all set to move Sunday so that I wouldn't have to mess with it Super Bowl week, and the damn freight elevator is broken in my building. So,
and it won't be fixed by Sunday?
No, they're waiting on a part because it's a freaking 38-year or 50-year-old elevator.
Jeez, so, I would think almost all elevators are that old. What's the...
I don't know.
I think they're playing you, man. They're trying to get another month of rent out of you.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm leaving most of the crap there anyway, so if they're playing me, they're going to be stuck with a bunch of junk that I was going to give away. Not really junk, but...
Suckers.
Yeah. But I'm guessing you had a pretty good betting weekend.
It was moderately strong to very strong. Well, not perfect, like last weekend, because the Steelers game went over... It would have been close to perfect had the Steelers not gotten the 2-point conversion at the end, because then I would have pushed that.
Yeah,
and that would have been just fine. But
yeah, I was thinking about you when they were doing that.
I was like, wow, this is awesome. That usually I don't like betting unders on the Steelers because they'll throw you off with those 2-point conversions sometimes, and that, you know, 1 point here or there could be the difference. But when they lined up to go for that, I had that little glimmer of hope that my 51 would hold. And it did not. They converted. But, it probably at least gave me more of a hope than them trying to kick an extra point would have. So, but really, I would say a pedestrian weekend as far as the NFL's gone. And honestly, look back through the 3 weeks of NFL playoffs that we've had.
There was one good game.
One good day. Well, the Packers, Cowboys, and the Chiefs, Steelers were the same day.
Yeah.
So two good games, but one day out of the entire playoffs.
I would say that Steelers Chiefs game was close, but it wasn't interesting.
Okay.
Competitive, though.
I should say at least dramatic. Like, that's what you hope for in the playoffs is some kind of drama, right?
Right.
I mean, yesterday there was no drama to be had. None.
Well,
you pretty much knew early on what was going to happen in both those games, and it did not change.
Well, especially with the Packers-Falcons, because the one thing that we talked about Friday, that if for the Packers have a chance, you've got to put pressure on them. You've got to, and I don't mean pressure by your defense getting after the quarterback, but you've got to score with them, and that way they can't make mistakes. Well, when you go down there and you miss your first field goal,
right,
and then your white running back fumbles the ball when you're in the red zone.
Yes.
Your
white fullback.
Yeah, well, he's playing running back.
Yeah,
but if you're going to beat a team like that in their building, you got to trade punches with them early. In what should have been a 10-10 game, they're down 10-0, and next thing you know, it's 17-0. And Falcons are a terrific front running team. And if you don't put any pressure like that on them, if you give away points like that, they're going to run away from you and beat your ass. And that's exactly what happened. And Matt Ryan was fantastic. I don't think. You can't play the position much better than he played it yesterday. Julio Jones was great. And You know, the Packers just made too many mistakes is what it came down to. Too many drop passes. And, you know, the turnovers. You're not going to beat the Falcons in their building like that when they're playing as well as they did. And I think that was probably their best effort of the year. And the Packers just did not show up yesterday. And that's why you get a blowout like that.
Yeah. Well, Packers were the thing that I said the problem they would have doing is stopping Matt Ryan and Julio Jones because their secondary is so beat up.
Yeah.
They lose it. They lose a defensive back on the opening kickoff.
Yeah.
I mean, and Micah Hyde missed a good chunk of that game. He's their most versatile defensive back. They just didn't. You know what? I don't know if the Packers healthy beat that team, but they at least give them a game. You know, and you could just see yesterday that's a diminished squad. That is a shell of the Packers. And
yeah, that's such a tough matchup to go up against those receivers and that offense when you've got guys who shouldn't be in the NFL playing in your secondary.
So, I mean, that team is just too good. They're too good to show up and give half-assed effort or have a half-assed roster or have anything half-assed. And they showed it yesterday. And I think what it did was it set up the only possible Super Bowl that could have been a good game based on yesterday.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because had the Falcons played the Steelers, the Falcons would have eaten their heads, because that whole improved Steelers defense, it ain't that improved, let me tell you. And
to be fair, when Tom Brady's on his game like that, he makes a lot of defenses look bad.
That's fair. Well, but also, I mean, Le'Veon Bell not being
when he got hurt. Although it's not like D'Angelo Williams didn't play well. It's funny because I don't know what your thoughts on this were, but I'm watching the game, and I'm watching Roethlisberger run off 12 completions in a row, and I'm watching him go at 15 of 19 to start the game and move the team up and down the field. And I look at the scoreboard, and it's 17-6 Patriots. And I feel like the Steelers are playing really good offense, and they're down 17-6. And I think so much of that was the Patriots were so good early and finished their drives.
Yep.
And then when that touchdown got overturned, and rightfully so, and they held them to a field goal.
That was the right call.
Yeah, that was basically ball game right there when they couldn't get in the end zone in that situation and went backwards on first and second down. And this Patriots defense is going to present a lot of different challenges for the Falcons because I think they're – of the four defenses we saw yesterday, I think they have the best one left. Although the Falcons defense is playing pretty well, too.
Yeah, they're not bad. Here's what I'll say about Pittsburgh, and particularly that drive. If you can't finish that drive and you've got a 6'5", 250-pound quarterback, you can't get in first and goal at the one, you don't deserve to play in the Super Bowl. I mean, this was unbelievable. That's just unacceptable that you lose yardage twice from that spot. I don't care if your running back's out.
That second call especially, it's like, what the hell?
It's just unacceptable to settle for a field goal there. And when that happened, the game was over.
And yeah, I think the Steelers were the second-best team in the AFC, but the gap between them and the Patriots still pretty big. And I think we got the two teams that deserve to be there, which is good. We didn't have one of those fluke teams that got hot and got through the playoffs. And I also hope Cowboy fan can relax now and realize that, boy, if they'd have had to play that Falcons team yesterday, they wouldn't have won that game either. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. And I think it's going to be – I am really looking forward to this game. The early line was Patriots -3. I think it's bounced around a little bit. And highest total in Super Bowl history, which doesn't surprise me either.
Yeah, which the Falcons gave you a little scare on that yesterday, too. But
they did.
At the end of the day, they got it done because that's what they do. They get it done when you play the over.
Well, they did their part. Let's not talk about the Falcons. They got 44 points.
That's true.
It was the Packers had to get that last touchdown. They were the ones who didn't do it.
But the number, supposedly, the early money has been coming in on New England, both public money and sharp money. So I'm interested to see where that line goes, because I'll be honest, I'm on the Falcons. I guess we're probably spoiling it. Maybe we should wait till next Friday to make the announcement.
Well, we've got plenty of time, and I reserve the right to change my mind. But that's I kind of was going to be on whoever was getting points, I think. And I look down and see the Falcons getting points as well as they're playing. That's where I'm leaning.
I
think the Patriots are going to win the football game, but I think it's going to be really, really close. And if I think it's that close, why would I not take the team with points.
I took Falcons plus 3.5 already. I took Falcons plus 135 already. I'm guessing I'll hit it again at a better number later on both the points and the money line. And I'll probably also look for an alternative line, like where I give up 7 points with the Falcons and try to get a big, giant, fat return on that.
Go for the score.
I just think the Falcons are the hottest team going right now. And I think they are going to be – listen, obviously Belichick is a genius. He could figure out a way to take some things away. The problem is with the Falcons, you know, yesterday when they took away Antonio Brown, it left a bunch of rookie receivers who can't catch the ball apparently. And if you take away Julio Jones, which, A, I don't know that the Patriots have the bodies to do that anyway, but if you do take away Julio Jones, the Falcons have so many ways to beat you. And they've had games that they've won where Taylor Gabriel's been the leading receiver, where Mohamed Sanu has been. You know, they've had games where they've run the ball extremely well. So I just think they've got so many weapons on that offensive side, it's going to be tough to slow them down.
I think you're right, but I also think that while he may not take Julio Jones away, they'll find a way to limit him. And that defense can make plays. It's a better defense than what Atlanta's had to go up against. And I know the Patriots can score with them.
Yep.
And that's the part of the game that I'm really intrigued by, because I really want to see a team push the Falcons by scoring with them. And that's what I thought the Packers were going to do, because that's when those passes get a little harder to catch. That's when your quarterback has to be at his best. And, you know, it's not that hard when, you know, you've got that big of a lead and Matt Ryan's playing great. Not that hard to put up more points.
Right.
But I'm really excited about this matchup, because I honestly don't know who's going to win. I feel pretty good about the Falcons covering, especially if that number keeps going up, because I really do think it's going to come down to a late field goal for somebody. Or the Falcons are going to do what they did yesterday.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, guess where I went this morning, AJ?
Where'd you go, Fred?
I went over to Texas Mattress Makers.
Again?
I did.
You're there very often.
I am. And
it's,
you know,
a mattress store. You shouldn't have to go there
that
often.
That's because I like the people. I love Lax and everybody over there. Well, I went because I'm getting a new mattress for my new place. And I'm getting that new Athens gel, which I am very fired up about. And I'm going to sleep like a champ. And this is their newest technology. It's fantastic. I cannot wait to get that into my place. That's what they do at Texas Mattress Makers all the time. They're going for better mattresses so you can sleep better. And if you've got a sore back or a sore shoulder like I do, they're going to put you on a mattress that's going to be perfect for it. And the best part is they make them. So I go in today, quick and easy, get everything set up. They're making my mattress. It's going to be delivered on the weekend that fast. And it hasn't been made yet. But at the factory, that's what they can do. They can make it for you right there because they sell it directly to you. And the other thing that amazed me, I was just walking around the showroom today. The prices on these really nice mattresses, which are better mattresses than I had ever had in my life before I started going to Texas Mattress Makers, it's ridiculous how inexpensive they are. So you're going to sleep better. You're going to save a bunch of money. You're going to get to meet some cool people when you go over there. And now you can save on incredibly low prices to beat any retailer and get you a custom-fitted bed. And you got an entry to get a chance to get those big Texas party tickets. Buy a mattress, you get to be in the pool. You spend $1,000, you get 2 entries. That's fantastic. You might be hanging out with us just because you went and bought a mattress. Go visit them today, Texas Mattress Makers, 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Saltgrass in Sugarland. So come on out if you're looking for a place to be tonight. Q Dimps will be joining us at 6 o'clock. I went for the Western Chop, trying that for the first time. Win.
What is the Western Chop?
It's a chop with some cheese and Western-type stuff on it.
Like a pork chop?
No, it's a chop of beef is what it is.
Oh, okay.
But it's like
got like onions and peppers on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's got some and jalapenos and things like that. So it's very well done.
It sounds good.
It is. Sorry, Fred, but the Cowboys' secondary is much better than the Packers, and the Cowboys would not have been one-sided on offense like the Packers. Let's not make throw out assumptions. Yeah, let's do, because that same secondary that you couldn't put 44 points up on, the Falcons were a better team, and I think they deserved to be there, and I think they would have taken the Cowboys out, and I think it would have looked a lot like yesterday. And, you know, that's what we're left with is speculation because the Cowboys didn't win.
Right.
But – yeah, I think it's part of my job is to throw out assumptions.
Yeah, I also don't think the Cowboys could get enough pass rush to really bother to bother Matt Ryan. I think the best team in the NFC won.
Yeah, I agree. And frankly, the reason the Cowboys secondary had pretty good numbers this year is because Cowboys dominated time of possession, and you know the way they were able to run the football, you wouldn't be able to do that against the Falcons. The Falcons were going to throw it all over the yard against you, so. And you know what? I think looking ahead, I really like what the Cowboys have, and I think they can.
The Cowboys were just ahead of schedule this year. The Cowboys are going to be good for a long time to come, but I think the best team in the NFC this year was the Falcons, and they're playing in the Super Bowl. I think the best team in the AFC this year is the Patriots. They're playing in the Super Bowl. That's what I want.
Exactly.
And I'm not a Patriots fan by any stretch of the imagination, but you know me about championship games. I just want to see the best teams at the end. That's all I care about.
And I think we got it. And those teams deserve to be where they are. The only bet I made this weekend was the Patriots, and I hit that pretty heavy. And kind of had an up-and-down weekend because horses were hit and miss, probably more miss than hit for opening weekend, which happens. You know, usually my picks get better like about the third week when horses start coming back to run again. But I had a great time out there Saturday night. A lot of blitzers that showed up, got to meet some cool people, had a good time.
I hung out for a little while on Friday and watched a couple races. And,
yeah?
Hung out with one of my old buddies, and then I went up to the sponsor suite and hung out with the Whitmire boys for a little while.
Yeah,
so,
that's
it was
a nice
good time,
affair.
Man.
Yeah, Wayne and those guys do a nice job with that suite. So, yeah, but man, what was up with this freaking weather? Because Saturday was perfect all day long. It was just beautiful. No, not a cloud in the sky. Of course, I spent most of it shopping for furniture, which is great. But so we go out to the track. Weather's still nice. I'm like, all right, this is great. We're going to have a nice night of racing. And then about the fifth race, it starts raining. And we went and had a couple drinks with Lawyer Dave and his wife after the races down the road. And then I get out of the car. I get in the car to go home. Armageddon again. Flooding everywhere. I mean, what the hell is this? And now today, look at it. It's just gorgeous.
It's crazy. Supposedly, it's not going to rain for a few days now. But, yeah, I'm tired of this weather.
I'll believe that when I see it. But, yeah, it was weird. The 713-780-3776 if you wish to text the show. But it's kind of funny. Why Cowboys fan was so quiet all week. Now they're coming out of the woodwork again.
Oh, they weren't that quiet. Trust me.
I didn't pay any attention to
them. Oh, trust me. They weren't too quiet.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but so Johnny Manziel's offering advice to the new president?
Yeah, well, he did, but you can't go back and look at it now because after offering said advice, Johnny deactivated his Twitter. I didn't really think it was anything worth leaving Twitter over.
Well, isn't he kind of going against his own advice then? Because basically, he must have been looking at the navigation.
Yeah.
I don't – notifications, excuse me. Because why would you get rid of that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he said anything overly inflammatory.
I'm not so sure his advice wasn't good.
I actually kind of thought the same thing. I was like, what?
It basically, here's the tweet. It says, yo, POTUS, at POTUS. Even I know to stay away from the notification section on Twitter. Bleep will drive you crazy. Lead the country and let them hate. I would probably say the same thing to the president. You know, I wouldn't look at those notifications. Yeah. I just tweet and lead and go start wars or do whatever it is you're going to do as president. Probably not awful advice.
No.
But he deleted that, huh?
He deleted his whole profile.
Really?
Yeah. I had to delete a tweet today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a bunch of people got worked up. And I don't want to talk about it, but it just wasn't worth the headache, so I deleted it.
Well, you'll have to tell me off air.
Yeah.
But I think people are I'm getting increasingly frustrated with just how sensitive people are to everything.
They really are. We live in a snowflakey world, but what are you going to do? I live here too, so I've got to play along.
Yeah, you just have to let the snowflakes fall. That's all you can do. It's crazy, man. I wanted to real quickly hit on the Rockets because I thought if they came away with a split with Golden State and Memphis, that would be a good result.
That's what you got.
Yeah, they didn't show up in the Golden State game, but boy, they did the next night. They looked like a totally different team. And actually, it played really good defense.
I think they've got some absurd record, like 11-1 or 12-1 on the second half of back-to-backs.
Yeah.
Which is so different than it was last year. They are performing well. Listen, the Warriors game, teams are going to get beat like that by the Warriors. And the Warriors, if you watch that game, you see the difference between teams like the Warriors and teams like the Rockets is the way the Warriors defended in that game. And
they've just got more weapons.
If
somebody's having an off night.
Yeah, the other guys can pick it up.
And the Rockets really don't have that.
If
they've got two guys that if they're off, they're in trouble.
They especially didn't that night because Eric Gordon was a dog.
Yeah.
And Ryan Anderson, who had a big game the first time they played. You remember so many things had to happen that first time that they – like Steph Curry had to foul out. You know, Ryan Anderson had to go off. Ryan Anderson was okay. I mean, he wasn't good, but he wasn't awful. This weekend, but Eric Gordon was awful against the Warriors, and they did a really good job of frustrating James Harden. And the Warriors they're just the best team.
That's going to happen more often than not. And you are going to have to. It's not that you can't beat them on occasion, but you're going to have to play your best game.
I don't go into panic mode when they lose to the Warriors or the Cavs or the Spurs. Those are the teams that. And honestly, the Rockets have played them all pretty well. This season, so I give them credit for what they've done, but I'm not going to crush on them when they lose to teams like that because those are the teams I think that are better than them. So I think the Rockets are still doing just fine. I thought it was nice to see them bounce back against Memphis.
Yeah, and they pretty much dominated that game. So, all right, 713-780-3776 if you wish to text the show, and we're going to have a giveaway for you guys in a little bit, and a lot of good stuff going on. We are at Saltgrass in Sugar Land. And I just want to tell you that they have a Valentine's special this year.
Oh, yeah.
Starting early, February 6th through the 14th, you can choose the Pat's Ribeye with grilled shrimp with wedge salad or Maudine's Filet Oscar with wedge salad. You can also celebrate with a bottle of Sanford Pinot Noir, a limited time offering, $55 a bottle. It's usually $100.
Nice.
So go to saltgrass.com for all the details to find a location near you. That'd be a really cool thing to do for your the special lady in your life or the side piece in your life or whatever. Whoever you want to take out for Valentine's, this is a great place to bring them. All right. Have to tell you about Houston Can Academies and how they change lives every day. And they take in kids who have dropped out of other schools. They give them another opportunity, and so many of them go on to do great things. A lot of these are really good kids that were just in bad situations. Well, Houston Can Academies works around whatever it was that caused them to drop out. And because of that, you know, they take care of them. If they need glasses, they get them. If they need rides to campus, they get them bus passes. Well, that's where you come in and your donations come in. And they need them now more than ever. It's a new year, and all of these donations go to help these kids. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs, four-wheelers, tractors. Doesn't matter if it's running or not. It may have just been sitting out there for a while. Well, they're going to come and tow it free of charge, process all the paperwork. Here's what you get out of it. Your donation's tax-deductible, and it's easy. I mean, it's so easy the way they do this. And if you donate today, you're going to get a $50 Visa gift card if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, just their way of saying thank you. And you're going to do a good thing to help out these kids. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And it doesn't matter where you are. If you're out here in Sugar Land, you're out in Richmond, you're over in Nacogdoches, you're over in Vidor, they'll come and tow it. So make the phone call, 713-225-4226, and write off the car, not the kid. Never had, share one more drink with me, smile even though.
Listen for your chance to win tickets to the Bill Barnwell Live Podcast during Super Week.
It's going to be super awesome.
Only on ESPN 97.5. The RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Well, I managed to went away with a couple of nice picks at the end of the card today that saved me from another disaster at Sam Houston. So, Jonathan asks, what do you think it would cost to trade up to 11 if Watson is there for the Texans, I assume? I don't think Watson's going to be there at 11. I kind of think he's going to be one of those guys that either goes top three or slides farther back than 11.
Yeah.
Because I think people are either going to love him, and I think they will. I think when they get this kid in workouts and see the skill set, the size will be the one thing that concerns them. If that concerns him enough, I think he'll drop quite a bit. And if he's sitting there for the Texans at 25, I guess, is where they are, I'd take him. But it would cost an awful lot to move up to 11. And I don't know that I'd trade up for a quarterback. And like I said, I'm going to guess he goes top three. There's too many teams up there that have to have a quarterback.
Same. I think it's hard to say because I don't know how it's going to work out as far as like the combine and who people are going to fall in love with. You know, is right now I would say Deshaun Watson's probably the top quarterback, at least according to most guys. I think if Deshaun Kizer looks great in workouts, he could be the top guy. If Mitch Trubisky looks really good in workouts, he could be the top guy.
Boy, I've seen enough of Kizer, though.
Science.
Yeah, I know, but I've seen enough of Kizer that I just don't think he's an NFL quarterback.
Oh, he's going in the first round.
I know he's going in the first round, but I think he's going to wind up being one of those guys we're talking about 3 years from now. Can you believe he went that high?
Yeah. But I think we'll say the same about all these guys.
I don't know. I think Watson's got potential. I mean, again, it depends on what – if he goes to Cleveland, forget it. I mean, he'll die there because everybody does. But, yeah, Trubisky, I don't know about – I mean, I've seen him play a few times. He looks like he's got a nice skill set, but he hasn't really blown me away either. But I see Kizer as – I mean, that guy looks like Christian Ponder to me.
I could see that. I could see that comparison.
Well, and maybe I'm wrong. I'll be the first one to admit that I'm completely wrong if that guy turns out to be a star. But you'll also let me remind everybody when he's out of the league in 3 years that it's like, I can't believe that guy went top 10. But the thing about Watson, man, it's underrated. Well, I mean, it's overstated when you say, oh, the guy's a winner. But his teams really did win an awful lot with him playing quarterback. He had a lot to do with
it. So did Vince Young. So did
Colt
McCoy.
But I think this guy's a better passer than both of those guys. And
I think he's also smaller than both of those guys.
Yeah, well, I think Vince's problem – Vince could have played in the league. And he did. He had some success. I think his problems were between the ears. And I don't know that Watson has those issues, but I haven't sat in a room with him to find out either.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys have – first-round talent. I mean, we see it all the time. Brock Osweiler has first-round talent just in between his heads.
Well, Brock Osweiler has first-round size. I don't know about talent.
He's got a good enough arm. He has all those things you look for except for the fact that he can't play quarterback. And that happens. And that's why it is such an inexact science. And that's why you look at a guy like Russell Wilson who's not tall enough, and that's why he goes in the third round. But all that guy ever did in college was win football games and throw the ball all over the yard, and he wasn't just a running quarterback. And
there's just a lot of guys. Like, Matt Leinart won a lot of games. Like, I always think the he's a winner thing is sort of overrated because, I've seen guys who didn't win much of anything in college end up being really good pro quarterbacks and vice versa. I think that it's just hard to say because a guy played on a bad college team or a good college team that same success or lack of success will translate.
Well, I think it depends on the type. Like if you're playing option quarterback and you're winning every game, absolutely, I don't want you in the NFL. But the reality is most of these guys who are really good, their teams won in college.
Yeah.
Almost all the best – even going back to Drew Brees at Purdue, Purdue's never done anything like what it did before or since Drew Brees was there.
Yeah.
And that's those kind of guys stand out. And
Matt Ryan didn't win much in college.
No, he didn't. In fact, he was kind of bad his senior year. But, you know.
Look at him now. He's all right.
Yeah, I still think, though, they had more winning records there with him than they did. I'll have to go back and look because I did that big chart last year. Like, almost every elite quarterback was – his team's record was better in college under the same coach than when somebody else played quarterback, which is kind of what
I mean, that
makes
sense. Yeah. I would guess that's the case.
Yeah, but it's – because the upgrade that you get from those guys just automatically makes you better. There's not a lot of them where –
Tom Brady might be an exception, but that's just because he was in a weird circumstance.
But even he was like two wins above
Drew Henson.
Yeah, what they were doing. So, yeah, but that whole thing was just odd with Brady. But you look at, you know, Peyton Manning, as great as he was. Well, Tennessee, they won a championship a year later, but look how he elevated that program while he was there. And that's why when I see a guy like Kizer, that team was not good.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I like guys who are going out winning football games and have NFL talent and have all the measurables. Which is why I liked Russell Wilson. The only thing I didn't like was him being short. And that's why, you know, a lot of people keep asking about the kid from Texas Tech.
Mahomes.
Yeah, they didn't win a hell of a lot of games this year.
No.
So.
Yeah, I do find him interesting. Not as a first-rounder, obviously.
Yeah.
But I do find him interesting as maybe a, you know, if you can get him in the third or fourth round, I could see that kid maybe being a player, at least down the road. I look at him kind of the same way I looked at Dak Prescott, and clearly I was wrong on Dak Prescott. But I thought Dak Prescott, if he sat for a year or two, he could end up being a player. I also thought that if they had to play him early, it would be a disaster. That part I was wrong on. But Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys who it seems like he's got a lot of raw talent, and if he were able to sit around for a little while and learn an NFL offense, yeah, he could maybe do something.
He's got the measurables I like. It's just the, you know, coming out of that system works almost never.
Yeah,
and that's we've seen a lot of those guys that just never pan out. 850, which says you don't put too much into size. A quarterback should be shorter since there's never been a successful quarterback at 6'6" inches or taller. No, they shouldn't be shorter. I don't want a guy under 6 feet tall. You got to be able to see over the line.
Yeah.
The ideal height is somewhere over 6'2 to 6'5.
Yeah, I think I like 6'3 to 6'6 is good.
I do think there's something to being too tall, and maybe it's just because I watched that damn ostrich all year.
Yeah, that wasn't great, but yeah, it doesn't mean that I want someone short either. I mean, Joe Flacco was 6'6". He's okay. I'll take him. But again, now, I mean, we've seen in the last couple of years, there's been a couple guys who have come in and broken that rule, Drew Brees, that. Russell Wilson. But I still say if you're building an ideal guy or you want an ideal guy, he's somewhere in that 6'3 to 6'6 range.
Andrew Luck, 6'5.
Yeah.
John brings up Peyton to 6'5. John also looked up Boston College during Ryan's junior and senior year, 10-3 and 11-3. After he left, they went 9-5.
Okay.
So you're wrong.
I was wrong.
Yeah, he fits that profile perfectly, and that's the thing. So I'm going to start with was the kid's team better when he was there than under the same coach? And you can actually measure that in Deshaun Watson's case. Yeah, are they going to be as good when he's gone next year? Well, you have to draft him before you know that.
Right.
But I'm going to guess probably not. So I mean, it's just one thing, but it's a pretty telling thing, I think. Foster asks, I'm curious when you guys think the Giants should start looking for Eli's replacement. I still think he's got a couple years. You should always be looking. Every team should be doing that. But I don't think the time is there just yet. The other tweet here that I wanted to get to. Sorry, internet's a little bit slow. So Peter asking, do you see the 49ers drafting with a quarterback along with Cousins? I guess that's the big rumor, is that they're going to try to make a deal for Cousins if Shanahan goes there. Because Washington, for some reason, doesn't want to pay him.
I'm torn on him, too, because I see him do some good things, but then I'm like, well, would I really want to pay that guy a ton of money? And I don't know. I don't know if I would. I understand why they paid him last year. Didn't really improve.
He's one of those guys that, although I think he's on the low end of those guys that you feel like you have to pay because he's good enough to get you to this point, which is kind of hard. But I don't think he's ever going to get any better. I don't think he's ever going to be the guy that's going to take you to the. You know, he's never going to take you to a Super Bowl.
I don't think so. I
mean, maybe he develops into that, maybe not. But you don't think the Texans would kill for a guy like that? There's a bunch of teams would kill for a guy like that.
Absolutely.
Right now. So it's kind of a. Yeah, that's a tough one. If I'm the Redskins, I probably keep him.
You know, and I've heard the same rumors about the Browns looking to trade too. I'm curious what the Redskins are what they're so interested in at the top of that draft. But B, if I'm the Browns or the 49ers, Kirk Cousins is such an upgrade.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And especially if you're bringing Kyle Shanahan in there.
Yeah. I mean, now here's the thing: is he the guy that can put you over the top to make you a good franchise? I don't know. I mean, obviously, it would take both those rosters need so much more than just a quarterback. That it would take some time, but I think that Kirk Cousins is like an Andy Dalton type. I mean, I think that he's pretty damn good. He can win you a lot of games. Do I think he can win you a Super Bowl? Probably not. But if you put the right things around him, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's impossible.
All right, here's a litmus test for you. Well, it's probably not fair because you wouldn't beat the Patriots anyway. But you put him on the Texans. You think that makes him a contender?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they wouldn't be better than the Patriots, but they would have. They damn sure wouldn't have been 17-point underdogs.
Yeah,
either. I mean
yeah.
that.
Well, they probably have a better record, or maybe the 2 seed.
Yeah, that's a scary team if they've got Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, right.
But
I'm just trying to figure out the level here.
But the thing about Kirk Cousins is, if you trade for him, you're looking at giving that guy a lot of money long term, because remember he's on a year to year deal right now where he's already getting paid a lot, but you're going to have to give him a long term, you know, probably a top 7 to 8 quarterback money contract, and the Texans can't do that.
No. All right. We're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz, live here at Saltgrass in Sugarland. Q Dimps will be here 6 o'clock joining us in, but a lot of stuff going on out here. 25 years of perfection. That Baytown location is now open. I know we have a lot of listeners over in Baytown. And get out here now for the early dinner menu until 6 p.m. and happy hour Monday through Friday, 3 to 7 p.m. So you can be getting your happy hour on right now. You'll be sitting right here getting your drink on, enjoying life instead of stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
Get out of the traffic. Come here. So you see –
right off 99, by the way.
Yeah.
If you're on 99 or 59, you're in the right spot.
Yeah, that's it. Very easy to find. And it's right off the exit. Can't miss it. So, you see, your boy Big Ben was a little kind of threw some of his guys under the bus after the game.
Do you think Big Ben played a great game?
I think he played great early, and it didn't matter.
I think great early is maybe a bit of a reach. I think he played all right.
I kind of think, 12 in a row and starting 15 and 19 is pretty good, but that's just me.
Okay, for how many yards? I mean, it's not like he was
like 168.
Chucking it down the field. He's getting his underneath stuff that they would give him, and he wasn't finishing drives, right?
Yes and no. I think that's oversimplifying it a little bit. They had some drops in there. They had a couple couple little breakdowns, but they were moving the ball. He was playing well.
Okay.
Well, and they lost their running back.
They scored 9 points in the first half.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. They weren't able to get in the end zone, and a lot of that was the Patriots' defense. But I think he played pretty well for that stretch.
Okay. I thought he was all right. I don't think he
was. The second half, he wasn't as good. There's no question. He had more yards, but he wasn't as effective.
I just think he's had way better games. And for the Steelers to have even had a chance, he had to be way better than he was. So I'm not sure if I feel good about Ben throwing anybody under the bus.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of it was – a lot of what I saw were some mistakes by some of his young guys who weren't able to – come up with catches. You were saying it earlier. It's like, well, if you take Antonio Brown away, you got a bunch of rookies out there. You know, I got like Sammy Coates gets behind a dude. You got to make that catch. And that ball was pretty well thrown. They had a couple of instances like that. I mean, he can't go catch it for him.
No, he can't.
And I think that's kind of what he was getting at. I don't think he should have said anything, though.
I don't think you do in that case. I mean,
here's what he said.
If it wasn't the last game of the season, he wouldn't have said anything,
yeah,
right?
Probably not. But you probably shouldn't say it now either. He says there were missed opportunities, whether we didn't execute well enough, whether plays weren't made by me or other guys. So at times it felt like maybe it was too big for some of the young guys.
Okay.
And
that's he's clearly talking about Eli Rogers and yeah. Sammy Coates, who both had big drops.
Yeah, and he says, was the moment too big? I don't know. We need to make every single play in a game like this, in a moment like this. Hopefully this is a learning game for guys to understand. This isn't promised to anybody. Tomorrow isn't promised. Just to make the playoffs isn't enough.
Okay.
I still think in the end they were playing against a team that was better than them.
Yeah, I also think, man, you've got to run the ball better than they did. And it's easy to say, well, Le'Veon Bell got hurt. D'Angelo Williams, I consider one of the better running backs, running backs in the league.
And he was effective
for one run.
For a stretch. Well, he caught the ball a couple times out of the backfield, too.
Yeah, I mean, but as far as, like, the actual running game, they had nothing.
No, they had nothing.
He had one run, and besides that, it was literally 1 yard here, 2 yards here.
Or going backwards from the 1 yard line.
I mean, they just had nothing. And if you can't threaten that team with that, you don't have a chance to beat them.
Yeah, if they make you one-dimensional, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And I think in – part of it was, they said the Patriots capitalized on every opportunity. Apparently, the Steelers weren't prepared for the flea flicker. How many times have we seen the Patriots do that?
They do it all the time.
Yeah, they'll trot that out once a week sometimes. And they weren't prepared for that. The Patriots finished off everything and got them in a hole, and they made the Steelers one-dimensional. And wasn't much point running the ball third and fourth quarter. I still think in that game, the whole thing turned when they didn't get that touchdown.
I think so, too.
I think that was where...
Well, I think that's where the door basically shut
yeah,
them.
Yeah,
yeah. They weren't turned.
They weren't coming back. Yeah, because, well, if it was going to turn around, it was going
to
happen.
That
there,
was their I chance guess, to yeah. really make a real move at the game and actually have a chance to be in it. And when that didn't happen, there was no hope.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I don't know how much of it was just... What were they thinking with the play calling? The Patriots were terrific down there defensively, but don't you sneak with Ben one time?
Two, three times. That's all I would do. If Le'Veon Bell was out, I would have done that three times. Yeah. I would have tried to push Ben in there. That's all I'd be doing. Yeah, the Steelers, there was some – I thought there was – and listen, with Mike Tomlin, there's always going to be some times when you question a play call or clock management or something. That's
especially when he's going up against Belichick.
Right,
that's gonna happen.
But I thought even a bigger problem for them was defensively. How early on they refused to go man against the Patriots, even though listen, that's as great of a scheme as the Patriots run offensively. Their athletes are not that great.
Yeah.
Let's be real and let's be honest about what it is.
Yeah. I mean, there are a bunch of white guys out there.
Okay. That's what it boils down to is they have mediocre athleticism and really talent even on that offensive side, at least in the wide receiver group. Why are you treating them like they're uncoverable one-on-one? Like, they're acting like everybody was Julio Jones. And then when they finally decided to make a change, it really didn't work. So I almost felt bad for even telling them, listen, try to get into man against these guys for once. Do something different. And then later in the game they did, and they still got torched. But I mean, it just seemed like the coaching and Mike Tomlin. I mean, these are that Pittsburgh staff is pretty solid. They're just not on the level of Bill Belichick, and that's what it boiled down to at the end of the day, I think. I should give credit to Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels too, who both did a really good job and called a really good game. But that they're better than almost everybody in the coaching department.
I would agree with that.
And I'm looking so forward to that Kyle Shanahan and putting that offense up against the test that has been this Patriots defense. And I think finally now we can stop with the Pats didn't really see that many good quarterbacks. They, you know, you remember that when people were like, well, elite quarterback have they seen? Well,
I still love the guy who says, oh, but look at Brady's last two playoff games.
Yeah.
Maybe you should look at yesterday's.
Look at yesterday's playoff game. He's pretty good.
All right, tell him about Allied.
All right, guys, going to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. Listen, if you're the seasons are changing, and you're going to want to spend more time in the backyard. You're going to want to entertain a little bit. That's where Allied Outdoor Solutions comes in. You can call the pros there, get yourself ready. They can renovate your fading pool deck, your grayed-out patio, your outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay. And that carved stone gives you a superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored for your place, so it looks great. And it's cool to the touch, it's slip-resistant, and it's twice as strong as concrete. Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty, and they can help you on residential and commercial projects. They can help you save some money as well. They offer several monthly payment options, including 0% financing, for up to 18 months. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay and get the look and feel of real stone for way less money from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway. Check out what they can do for you with your own eyeballs, or you can go to the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery online at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions. My body's screaming, this is
unbelievable. From the black to the blue. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.